we have so much to be thankful for, so many blessings. And I know it's a bit on the nose, I guess, to preach on thankfulness on Thanksgiving Day, and I didn't plan to. I was ready to go with the law again in Exodus 21, but the Lord kind of changed my mind today and steered in a different direction. And so we're going to jump around the Bible a little bit this afternoon, looking at this idea of thankfulness, just something we always can be reminded of. And so it may not be new this evening, maybe it will be for you, but I hope it'll be what's necessary tonight. We'll just follow the Holy Spirit's leading, trust Him with the rest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word and all that we learn from it. Lord, help us as we seek to study it this evening. Lord, help us to consider ourselves, consider our lives, whether they match in line with Your Scripture or not. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First place we're going to go in our Bibles is Psalm 100 tonight. Psalm 100. And there's you could add them up. When you combine the words thanksgiving, you know, thankfulness, all these words, there's well over 150 uses in the Word of God. And there's plenty that we can be thankful for. We'll list some of those later in the message. But when you look at the word thankful specifically, you find it used only three times in all of Scripture, and then one use of thankfulness. And so we have thankful and thankfulness combined to find only four uses in all the Bible. And you'd think there'd be more, but you know, we have thanksgiving given to God and give thanks to God. And so the word's used in different ways, but this word thankful only found in three or four places. In Psalm 100, and starting in verse number 4, let me get this turned on so I'm not chained to the pulpit here. In Psalm 100, and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Now, we learn a couple of things in this passage. First of all, obviously, we are to thank God because His goodness, we're to thank God for His everlasting mercy, His enduring truth. These things are important because, you know, it's good to be able to say God is good and all the time, and all the time God is good, and we know that and we believe and understand it. But when we understand that, you know, His truth endureth forever, it never changes, it's never proven to be wrong in any way, that is a very important thing to know and to understand. The fact that His mercy is everlasting, and God can be good and God can be righteous, and God could righteously and justly send all of us to hell. I mean, He could do that based upon our sin, but His mercy endures forever. His mercy is everlasting, and thank the Lord for that. If there was a you know, a time run out on mercy, boy, you would not want to live in that time. You would not want to see the mercy of God run dry. That would be horrible. And we're thankful that the Bible tells us that mercy is never going to go away. It's never going to run out. It's never going to get used up. He's never going to say, okay, well, that's enough mercy. That's enough grace. Now you just get what you deserve. Never going to see that happen. Now we're going to see the wrath of God. Well, we won't. If you're saved, you'll be up in heaven in glory with the Lord, but the world will see the wrath of God poured out in the great tribulation. But God's mercy endures forever. God's goodness is forever. God's truth is enduring. And I think it's important to notice too here in this passage, when you look at Psalm 100, you really, the whole thing is just a great praise of God. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." I like that. We didn't make ourselves. We don't make the rules because we didn't make ourselves. We don't have the power to make us taller, shorter, any of that. God made us, so God is the one that we ought to praise. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations." Now, what I see here too, when you see, there's a couple places in the Bible you see phrases like this where it says, you know, to enter into His courts in certain ways, or to enter into His gates in a certain way, or to enter into the Lord's house a certain way. I think it's a good reminder here in this passage that The Lord cares about how we approach Him. And when we come to the house of God, which I understand, you know, this is not the temple, but this is what we would consider the house of God, the place that's physical that we go to worship God, even though we are the church and we are the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, we can worship God anywhere. We have this physical building that we would consider the house of God. And when we come here, the Bible has some set standards as to how people should approach and come into the house of God. And here we see that you ought to come into the house of God. You ought to enter with thanksgiving. There's a lot of times we'll leave thankful. Maybe the song that was sung stirred our heart or the message just struck a nerve. But you know, we don't always come in thankful. And we come in whatever state we please. But the Bible says, come into His house thankful. Come in thankful with a thankful heart and attitude, with gladness. There's places where you find weeping and fasting going into the house of God because there's a great need. Turn with me to Psalm 42, and we'll look at one verse about this. Psalm 42 and verse number 4. Psalm 42 and verse number 4. Bible says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I like that one because today is, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. It's a holiday week. And so he said, oh, well, there's a whole multitude of us, and we're going into the house of God with joy and praise and all these things, and we're keeping this holy day. And I just think about that's what we're doing tonight. We're coming in. We're in the celebration of a day that's set aside as holy, and a day that we set aside as Christians to be thankful to our God. You can look all throughout our nation's history and see different presidents that have made proclamations, different governors that have made proclamations that the day of Thanksgiving is to be a day of thanksgiving to God. There were some presidents who even went so far as to say that the day of Thanksgiving would be a day of fasting and prayer. Boy, how different it is today. Definitely no fasting going on at Thanksgiving. Maybe the day after, out of pain and suffering. Like, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten three turkeys in one sitting. You know, it's rough. It's different. It's so different than what it once was. But this idea we see here, when we come into God's house, when we come into God's presence, there's a certain attitude you see in the Bible very often, and it's joy, it's gladness, it's thanksgiving. Yes, there's times when it's weeping and fasting, but that's because they're going to God with a need and for a need. And so what I don't ever see is people going into the house of God apathetic, going into the house of God with really not a care for being there. There's always a desire when you go into the house of God. It's either a desire to be thankful, it's a joyful desire to worship God, maybe it's a desire for a need to be met and you're weeping and fasting. There's always an intention going into the house of God, and one of those intentions is thankfulness, to show God your thankfulness and to thank Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His truth that endureth unto all generations. So that's Psalm 100. That's the first time we find this word thankful in the Word of God. And then if you turn with me to Acts 24, we find a very different situation in Acts chapter 24. In Psalm, we're talking about entering into God's house, and we're talking about God's people. And in Acts 24, we have somebody speaking here who is actually speaking against the Apostle Paul. He's actually an orator that's been brought in by the priest to sound real fancy and talk real smooth and accuse Paul. But even though he is in the wrong in what he's doing, he does speak some truth. So Acts chapter 24, and starting in verse number 2, the Bible says, well, let's start in verse number 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee, talking to the governor, we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding, I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. You see the fancy words he's thrown in there, clemency and all that. But here he says, we have thankfulness towards you, Felix, the Roman governor, because of the quietness that they enjoy. Now, this is something that we find in another place in Scripture. If you turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and starting in verse number 1, We have a specific prayer request that is given to Timothy by Paul. He says, pray for this thing. And it's along the same lines here as what we see in Tertullus's accusations and what he's saying to Felix, says, we enjoy great quietness from you, from your ruling. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, pray for those in authority so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. And to a Christian in America, that doesn't really mean a whole lot, doesn't really strike a nerve, but to Christians throughout history whose governments have persecuted and tried to kill them, it makes a whole lot more sense to pray the prayer of this verse. It's something to be thankful for, to have a government or a political party or whatever it may be that provides quietness, that provides peace for the Christian, that does not go after the Christian and persecute the Christian. It is something to be thankful for, to be in a place like America where we have the freedoms that we have to enjoy our Word of God, to enjoy the Savior, to worship Him the way that we see fit based on the Scriptures without any interference from the government. And so that is a blessing. That is something that even in the Bible we see something to be thankful for, is when we enjoy the quiet of a lack of persecution from the government. And if you were to go other places in the world and hear testimony of other Christians and see and hear and know what goes on, then praying for and thanking God for just some peace and quiet makes a lot of sense. I'd much rather, as good as persecution can be for a nation, and as much as it really does separate the wheat from the tares, as Brother Ken was talking about earlier, it would be nice if we never had to face that. It'd be nice if we just turned back to God and as a nation and follow the Word of God best we can and not have to ever go through that. It'd be nice to enjoy a quiet, peaceable life and have our kids enjoy a quiet, peaceable life where we can serve God and do it without fear of persecution or retribution. And so here the Bible says we ought to be thankful for those who allow that quiet, peaceable life to be the life of a Christian, instead of those who were like Emperor Nero, who would kill and murder the Christians in all kinds of different ways, many times just for sport. And so I'd be very thankful to be an American, to have a quiet and peaceable life as a Christian. You can see, you know, freedoms being eroded away, and that is concerning, but much better to have what we have than anywhere else in the world. And so we're thankful for that, and that is something that we ought to continue to be thankful for. I've heard said, you know, if you're not thankful for something, it goes away. You don't appreciate something, they take it back. Well, we ought to appreciate what we've been given as Americans. Who knows, we might not always have it this way. Romans chapter number 1, we find this word thankful again. Romans chapter 1, this will probably be the most easily recognizable passage it's used in, that you'll know right off the bat when we start reading. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21. Verse number 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Be professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You read Romans 1, there's not very many verses in Romans 1 that you want to be a part of. There's a lot of bad in Romans 1. People who became fools, people who left the natural use of a woman and burning their lust, men with men working that which is unseemly. You've got all kinds of just nasty, terrible, horrible sin in Romans chapter 1. And part of that group, part of all these people that are described in all these ways, part of the problem is they weren't thankful. They weren't thankful. There's a lack of thankfulness. And this is a stark warning against unthankfulness. And of course, as American Christians, as we said before, there's so much for us to be thankful for. We're thankful for our padded pews. We're thankful for our temperature control. We're thankful for a sound system. We're thankful for internet to be able to send this to people who can't come and be here in person. We're thankful for the Word of God in our language, freely available. We're thankful for missionaries that will go out and go across the world with the gospel. We're thankful for Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and the fact that we have these things and these people available to us. And we have a piano. We have two pianos. We're double thankful. And so just there's just so much for us to be thankful for. And there's a stark warning in the Word of God that a lack of thankfulness, it never brings anything good. Whenever you find people who are unthankful in the Word of God, it's not good. And so it's easy as, you know, being that I believe everybody here born and raised in America, we have all these things and we're so used to them. It's not wrong. It's just the fact. We're so used to them. Sometimes we forget to be thankful because we just, well, it's just what we've always experienced. It's what we've always known. And it's just normal for us. And so we don't think about how thankful we ought to be for the things that we take for granted. And that's one of the good things about, you know, getting out there and seeing the world, whether it be a missions trip or something else, and just seeing how the other half lives. And it really makes you thankful. I remember coming back from missions trips with the youth group and kids going, man, I need to throw out half my closet because, you know, they saw poverty, real poverty, and it made them feel terrible, made them feel guilty for all that they had and weren't thankful for. And really, that's as Christians in America, it is a struggle sometimes, I think, to thank God the way that we ought to and to really mean it, not just, you know, thank you for this food and then just nothing to it, you know, but actually thank God and be thankful to God in the way that we should. We don't want to fall into that category of those who are not thankful. And we ought to be thankful for the people in our lives that brought us to God, the people in our lives that raised us up in godliness or that taught us truth. We ought to be thankful for the people in our lives that stepped on our toes when they needed stepped on. I mean, just there's so many things that we can be thankful for if we'll just sit down and start making a list. I'd encourage you sometime just to do that. Every single thing, every single person, every single situation or experience that you want to thank God for, just start writing it down and just see where that goes. And maybe the Lord will even bring to mind things that you've forgotten. Now, that's happened to me before. I'll be writing things down and be like, I didn't even remember that happened. Man, praise God, that was great. You just never know. There's just so much to be thankful for. So thanks, praise, worship, faithfulness, giving, serving, obeying. These are all ways in which we show our thankfulness to God. You know, somebody says they're thankful to you or thankful for you. Well, how do you know? How do you see that they are thankful? People can say things and not mean them. I mean, we know that. There are people who thank people all the time in speeches in front of pulpits and podiums and cameras and stuff. And you're thinking, man, they probably don't even know the name of the person they're thanking. They're just doing it for show. But we can show our thankfulness to God through so many different things. Of course, praising Him, worshiping Him, faithfulness to His house, faithfulness to what He would have us to do, giving to Him and to His service, serving Him, obeying Him, utilizing, how about this, utilizing that which we're thankful for. Can you imagine this? You know, say I had a spare truck and say Justin needed a car, and I said, all right, Justin, here's my truck. Here's the title. It's yours. And he said, oh, man, thank you. And a year later, I found out Justin's only driven that truck twice. I'd be like, oh, give it back. Like two times in a year, well, you're not using the thing that I gave you. You were thankful when you got it, but you're not doing anything with it. And when I think of it in that retrospect, in that light, and I look at what I've been given as a Christian, I've been given salvation, I've been given eternal security, I've been given the Holy Spirit of God to guide me in all truth, I've been given the Word of God, been given a local body of believers to fellowship with, been given all these things, but am I utilizing them the way that I should if I really am thankful for them? People say, well, I love my church, I'm thankful for my church, and the pastor looks at them kind of sideways because they hadn't been there in 4 weeks. I've seen it happen. One of the most fun things I got to do up at Faith Baptist in Michigan was be one of the guys that carried the mic around during the thankful time. And because, you know, bigger church, bigger auditorium, we had mics like we do here, and a couple of us younger guys, we'd grab the mics and we'd be the runners, you know, taking it to everybody that raised their hand. And sometimes the funniest things would happen, the strangest things would get said, and I'm always watching the pastor's face just to see if he reacts. But there were times, there was one time in particular, this family, oh, we're just so thankful for this church, thankful for you, pastor. And he's looking at them like he doesn't even know who they are. like, man, I couldn't remember who they were. And, oh, well, they'd been gone for a little while. That is a really good test to see, are we actually thankful the way we should be for something we've been given? Well, do we use it? Do we thank God for it? Do we utilize it? Are we doing what we ought to praise and thank God for that which he has given us? Colossians chapter 3 will be the last one of the word thankfulness, and it is the admonition to be thankful, of course. Colossians chapter number 3. Very simple. I mean, we see all throughout the scripture taught that we ought to be thankful, but sometimes the Lord just takes something and just spells it out as plainly as possible, as simply as possible, so that nobody can say they didn't know or didn't understand. Verse 15 of Colossians 3, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." There it is. Be ye thankful. So thankful for what? Well, if we, like I said, we could start a list. There's a lot to be thankful for. The Christian, no matter what you have or don't have in this life, if you have Christ, you've got all you need. And so you could thank God till the day you die just for that. You could be without a job, without a home. You could be sick and ill and losing everything in this life and still wake up and say, I'm going to heaven. I'm better off than billions of people on this planet, thank God. I mean, there's something to be, you know, you got that song, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Even if you got nothing here, there's so much that we can still thank God for, just looking into our future and looking to the promises that he's given us. And so we ought to be thankful. Of course, I'm sure nobody in here would have been surprised by that the Bible wants us to be thankful. But I think something else that's interesting that I want to show you in the Word of God before we're done tonight is there's a phrase that is in Scripture, and it's in Scripture four times. And I think it's very interesting, this phrase. The phrase is, thanks be to God. And it's an exclamation of somebody saying, thanks be to God for, and it's very interesting what these things are. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And all four of them are found in 1 and 2 Corinthians. So you can read into that as much or as little as you'd like, but 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 is the first one. And boy, these are all just great verses in the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You back up a little bit, you got verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have victory over death and over sin, and thanks be to God for it. That's the verse. Now, if you look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. The Bible says here, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." That's a pretty good one too. Always causeth us to triumph in Christ. So we've got victory in Christ, we've got triumph in Christ, and we're thankful for these things. And we say, thanks be to God for this. And now if you flip a few pages to chapter 9 and verse 15, we see another one. Chapter 9, verse 15, you'll recognize this one, I'm sure, might even have it memorized. 2 Corinthians 9, 15, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Now, that's not just a gift, nobody knows what it is, so they can't talk about it. No, you cannot describe in words, you cannot capture in our language, in the human words, and with our minds, and with our understanding, you cannot capture and describe how amazing the gift of salvation is. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. So we have thanks be to God, victory. Thanks be to God, triumph. Thanks be to God, unspeakable gift. And then the fourth one is the one that just is so different than the rest. But it gives us an insight into the mind and the heart of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 16. "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Well, that's a lot different. I mean, we've had victory in Christ and triumph in Christ and the unspeakable gift of God. And then it's thanks be to God, Titus cares about you. That's an interesting one to me, but boy, if you have ever been in a low place and had a brother or sister in Christ come through for you, you know what that verse means. Boy, thank God for brethren who love one another and care for one another. And the Bible says that God put that in Titus. God put that care, that earnest care for the church in Titus. He cared about the Corinthian church so much. And Paul says, thanks be to God for that. We have thanks be to God, written by the hand of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, of course, four times. And three of them are just these outstanding, amazing things that all of us are like, yes, praise God, victory in Christ, triumph in Christ, unspeakable gift of God. And then the other is just Titus cares for you. And man, it cannot be overstated how much brotherly love in a godly way matters and how much we ought to be thankful for it. I talked to one of my best friends today, just called him up, see how things were going. And boy, it just got me thinking, I'm so thankful not to be in this thing alone, not to be a pastor alone, not to be a Christian alone, just to have people that we can lean on and call up and run to and have help from, encouragement from, and a rebuke from, whatever is needed. It's so nice to be a part of the family of God. As the song says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And thankful for that. Thanks be to God for Titus and caring for you. Now, there's two verses I'm going to read to you as we wrap this up. I think it's interesting, you know, just kind of looking at these things about thankfulness tonight. Nothing real spectacular, I'm sure, but it's the Word of God that's good for us. And so to wrap up, we just got to make sure that we remove any doubt when it comes to thankfulness. Because, you know, we think, well, I should be thankful for this and I should be thankful for that. And I don't have to be thankful for that, you know, or whatever. And some people, you know, they think, well, what should I be thankful for and what shouldn't I be thankful for? But the Bible's pretty clear. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things. That wraps it up. Always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as the martyr is being burned alive at the stake, I doubt that's the first verse that pops into the mind. Thankful for all things always. Thank God for this flame. Thank the Lord for this wood. I forget who it was, one of the martyrs that the Catholic Church burned for daring to try to get the Bible into the hands of normal people. But he encouraged, he was being burned alive with another man, and he encouraged him to take his strength and to be glad and rejoice because they were lighting a fire that would never go out. And they were the kindling that would light a fire that would never go out in England or whatever it was. And it was essentially saying, hey, we're doing, this is happening to us, but it's going to make an impact. It's going to make a difference. Be thankful for it. Imagine that. They're stacking the wood against your feet and getting the gas out and the lighter out. But your buddy next to you says, hey, be thankful. This is great. It's not always our first response, is it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People all the time, well, I don't know the will of God for my life. Well, there you go. There's one of the many, many wills of God for your life. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. I remember one time getting looked at funny. It's funny the memories you remember, the things that stick with you. Some of them, you have no clue why you remember it so vividly, and you can't remember the important stuff. But I have one from Bible college, and I wasn't there very long. But while I was there, I remember in testimony time at the dorm or whatever it was, I remember people looking at me like I was an alien because I thanked God because I went into the dry cleaner. I had the right amount of change in my pocket, and they were like, "What are you?" I said, "Well, honestly, I did not want it. It was like February in Gaylord, Michigan, which is not enjoyable." And I was like, guys, you have no idea. I said, I grabbed just a wad of change out of my cup holder because, you know, Bible college student don't have no cash. That's for rich people. Grabbed a bunch of change out of my cup holder in my car, went in, and it was exactly to the penny, exactly the right amount that I owed them. Like, that's just a God thing. And they're like, oh, that's a little thing. Hey, be thankful in all things. It was a blessing. I didn't have to go back out in the cold and do that embarrassing, you know, walk of shame. I don't have enough money. Let me go get more money. That's not a fun walk. I remember them looking at me like I was crazy and just thinking, you know what? I need to do that more often. I need to be thankful for what people think are the little things more often, because, boy, God's just so good. So good to us. So many things that we can be thankful for. And it's not always the good things. Sometimes the things that we don't enjoy, we ought to thank God for as well. Be thankful for all things, always. And boy, thank God for the examples that we saw in Scripture. The brotherly love, thank God for the victory in Christ over sin and death, the triumph, the unspeakable gift. There's so much to be thankful for, not just this time of year, but always. As a Christian. And it's something that we can use as a testimony, really, to witness to people this time of year when they grumble about the price of their turkey, which, whoo, hello, when they talk about all that's going on, and they're like, oh man, you know, just whatever, you know, I don't know what to be thankful for. You say, well, I've got something to be thankful for every single day. And it's my Lord Jesus Christ and a home in heaven when I die, and victory over sin today, and my sins forgiven, and a Bible that I understand that's in my language, and just you just go on and on, and they'll just and just keep going until they tell you, okay, that's enough. Because there's just so much to thank God for. I would not, if I was lost, I wouldn't want to follow the religion of a man who was grumpy and sad and had nothing to be thankful for. I'd want to follow somebody who couldn't stop thanking God for something. So that's a God I want to serve, if he's worth all that praise. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that we find in your word. Lord, even these admonitions and these warnings to be thankful. Lord, we understand that it is very important for us to show thanks and to give thanks to you and for all that you do for us. Lord, we could never, our lifetime would end before we could finish thanking you for all that you do. Lord, as every day, every breath we take is another gift from you that we do not deserve. And Lord, we're so thankful. So thankful, Lord. Help us to be thankful in the way that honors and glorifies you. Lord, help us to be thankful for all things at all times for your sake and for your glory. And Lord, help us to be publicly thankful to you, that others may know that it's not luck, it's not just good planning, it's our God that has brought every good thing, every good gift, and every perfect gift into our life. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, help us to be able to be witnesses to you, or witnesses for you to the world around us in this day and age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken. Page 202 in your hymn books. We'll stand together and sing. Maybe you just want to take some time and pray and thank God for some things. Page 202.